Hello, I'm Floyd Miller, the host of It's Everything West Texas, and I mean everything. Some of our topics are going to make you laugh, and some will make you cry. I guarantee you all of them will make you think. It is the podcast that highlights people and issues in West Texas. As a neighbor, we want to talk with you. The goal is not necessarily to get agreement, but it is about understanding. Subscribe today and never miss another podcast. Texas, and we're always trying to bring you interesting programs. I think today is going to be a very interesting program because it's kind of the first time that It's Everything West Texas, have delved kind of into the political arena. We do not endorse any particular candidate, but we do want to talk with the candidates. And so the first one that we will be talking with today is Cynthia Alvidrez. She's running for place 5 on the city council. So Cynthia, welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the invitation.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. I've always wanted to talk with you. I've seen you in the media. You're probably one of the better known people that's running for this office. So first of all, I'd like for you to just tell me a little bit about yourself, whatever you feel comfortable talking about.
Okay. For those that might not be familiar with my name or what I do in the community here, I'm pretty much a community advocate, been advocating for years. I have a bachelor's in sociology, master's in rehabilitation counseling. And again, for those that haven't heard the story, it all started with an after-school care program that helped 200 families be able to afford, you know, child care so they could work. And that's kind of really where it got started. So just really, you know, to answer your question about myself, just a community advocate, I listen to people and there's some issues that they have and I try to assist them in finding some kind of resolution.
Oh, okay. So you have run for office before, I think for mayor one time. And is this the second or third time for city council?
It's 5. I've ran 5 different times total. So I ran once for school board, 2 times for city council, once for mayor, and then this will be another run for city council.
Well, that's a lot of tenacity. What makes you keep going after it?
Well, because things need to get fixed, and I have people coming to me, and they either, you know, they'll have a bridge that has a hole in it. There's issues with FM 1082. Now we got a $9 million road around it. That's really the drive behind it is helping people, but also I need help. You know, I live in the same community of the people that I look forward to representing. I got the same potholes. I got the same holes in my bridge. I got the same issues when it comes to my seat at the table when you're talking about the Abilene City Council.
Well, I appreciate your desire to run. We need to have people that's going to step up and run and serve in these offices. And I think most people are like you in a way. They are on the outside and they say, now, if I get in there, I can change things. And sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't. Why do you believe that you being on the city council, you can get the change that you think ought to take place?
Well, I don't believe I can do it. I know I can do it because I'm doing it and I'm not even sitting on the council. We're years and years and years behind. I just need to be on there so we can get things done faster. You know, I'm able to do, I can't get everything that everyone's needing. There are some things, there are barriers that I'm presented with when you're talking about getting representation from city council. And it's not just myself, it's my neighbors that need that representation. And so with me being able to sit on the council, those things I can put on the agenda. Right now you go and you request things to be placed on the agenda and you're completely ignored. Some people are listened to, but they pick and choose who it is that they listen to and whose items that they put on the agenda. And that doesn't need to be the way that it shouldn't be like that.
Okay, so once you, if you are elected to the city council, what role do you think you will play in getting that on the agenda? Is it still kind of a majority of the people that have to want those issues on the agenda? How do you intend to do that?
Well, from what I was told, if you want something on agenda, you just you ask a city council member and the city manager puts it on the agenda. So is that answer your question? Because I know everybody's going to want something, I guess, is what you're getting at.
Right. Well, yeah. Basically, what I was saying is, okay, it's because I don't quite understand exactly how all of that works. So so you own the outside right now. You cannot get it on the
agenda.
But are you saying that if once you are a city council person, that automatically gives you an opportunity to get that on the agenda?
That's what I was told.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was told, unless I was told something false. All it takes is for a city council member to request that an item be placed on the agenda.
Oh, okay.
And that's how simple it is, but it's so difficult for it to get done. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way.
Okay, so one of my questions is, what has been your greatest accomplishment as a servant? And you describe yourself as an advocate, so we'll let that be part of the question. So what has been your greatest accomplishment so far?
My greatest accomplishment is I've been able to save the taxpayer millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars. And you're going to want an explanation of that. There was a almost $9 million bridge that I was able to get put on the north side of Abilene, right there on North 18th. It had a hole you could see right through. That was when I ran for mayor in 2020. There was an issue with FM 22, Farm to Market Road, out there by Fort Phantom. And what was happening there is you had the state of Texas fighting against the city of Abilene as to who was responsible for getting that fixed. Long story short, the dam had to be widened in order for the state of Texas to come in, because the state of Texas, they have authority over farm to market roads. And so in order for them to put a road that would meet the regulations that the state had, the city had to go in and widen the dam. Now, we all know that was going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars, probably. The city's not going to want to allocate money towards that. The dam was sound. It wasn't going to break. It was just the fact that it needed to be wider for that road. So instead of doing that, they found it more financially feasible to go ahead and build a $9 million road around it. I am responsible for that. I highlighted that. It got fixed. We did save the after-school care program for a little while. And that was able to provide 200 working families with the ability to have access to affordable child care. That's another one of the accomplishments. My son, Jayton, who's here with me today, he helped advocate for an ADA accessible playground, first ever in the city of Abilene. And not only do we have one, but we have two now. We have one on each side of town, south side, north side. And I think those playgrounds really represent what it is that I'm trying to do and what my goal is. My goal is for Abilene to have a city council that is inclusive, that includes everybody. And I hope that I know I'll be able to do that once I get in there. I just got to get in there and be given that opportunity to do that. But those are just several of my accomplishments. Instead of that money being thrown to wherever it would have gone, it was thrown back to the infrastructure, and that in turn saves the taxpayer dollars.
What do you see as the greatest opportunity for Abilene right now?
The greatest opportunity for Abilene. Are you talking about like in a certain sense, like financially, or just like in general?
Just for everybody. I mean, what if X happened? That would be great for Abilene. So what is X? I mean, what do you think?
I think X might be happening right now. You know, with all the growth that we're projected to see, and I think right now would be a good time to let everybody just come together. I mean, now would be a time to come together. You have a lot of growth that's going to be happening here in Abilene. When you're talking about what the DCOA is doing, when you're talking about, you know, some things that are going down on downtown that some people might not necessarily be, you know, on board with, but things are happening now. And so right now would be the time to come together and figure out how is it that we can all move forward and we can all benefit from what's about to happen here.
Okay, then when you mention coming together, you are a person that has been pretty passionate about everything that you do, and sometimes you've been known to maybe get in people's face, say a few things that probably don't go down well. So where do you see your role in helping pull all of this stuff together?
Well, you know, I was in the military. I was in the Army. Have you ever served your country? You ever go to basic training or anything
like
that?
No, I haven't, but thank you for your service.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. The only reason I ask that is because when you go to basic training, they don't work with what you present them. Whatever you present them, they break that completely down. They break it completely down. And you're broken completely down, and they build you up into the soldier that they want you to be. You know, and unfortunately, there's a lot of things that historically have happened here in Abilene that haven't really, you know, set right with a lot of people. And my goal is never to be divisive, but I look at it the same way that I look at it the same way as basic training. You know, there's a lot of things that happen here that need to be torn down. They need to be torn completely down. And we need to be able to come together and build that back up. So that way it benefits everybody.
Oh, okay. So, you know, people are somewhat cynical. I guess that's just, mm-hmm. I think that's just human nature. And it's kind of a we against them people. I mean, if you're in the power structure, you're them. If you're on the outside, it's we. So what role does the average citizen play? How can the average citizen help move Abilene in a positive direction?
Well, you participate in your local elections and your city council meetings, and you go up there and you voice your opinion. I think that would be the easiest thing. That's really the easiest way to do it, but it's also the hardest because we've had citizens, we've had taxpayers go up there and voice their concerns over and over and over and over again for years, and nothing's ever addressed, nothing ever happens. So that's when people become cynical. That's when people start giving up. That's when people, just don't really have any confidence in their city council. And so that particular aspect of it has got to stop. The taxpayer deserves their voice at the table, or they deserve the seat at the table. They deserve for their voice to be heard. And when people start listening to the taxpayer, when people actually sit down and start caring about what's going on in those particular neighborhoods, in that person's particular neighborhood, and it goes out of their way to make sure that they have the same quality of life, or they have that same access to the quality of life that city council member has, then you're not going to have, I don't think you'll have as many cynical taxpayers going up there hooting and hollering and yelling and, you know, complaining about things. I mean, you got things that are being taken away from people right now that is affecting their ability to financially provide for their children. And that's an issue.
Like what?
Like the after-school care program, like your water bills. Like just inflation in general, you know, just financially, we've got to bring it back to the basics, and we've got to be able to know, okay, well, let's go ahead and take care of our infrastructure first. Let's take care of our needs, and we've got to start cutting out all the wants that are getting handed out for whatever reason.
Okay, so if you win this election and you had the power, what would you change on day one, or what would you do on day one?
I would like to see our city council meetings go back to the way they were when you're talking about the agenda. I think that would probably be one of the first things that I would do, because unfortunately what has happened is our voice has been ripped out of our throat. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with the way that the agenda works, but it used to be the taxpayer had an opportunity to speak on any item that was on the agenda. And now they have cut it down to where you have a consent agenda and then you have the regular agenda. So you have a consent agenda where the council members, they get to decide whether or not they want to approve or deny that without the representation of a taxpayer, without a taxpayer being able to go and, you know, and voice their opinions or their concerns up at the city council. And then, you know, and then you have your regular agenda. So I think that would be one of the first things that I would like to change is the way in which the agenda is formatted. And then also I would like to consider moving the city council meetings to the evenings, because you've heard that over and over and over again that taxpayers cannot get there because they have to work. So again, your voice is being ripped right out of your throat, whether that be intentionally or whether that be out of ignorance. Either way, it's not acceptable.
Okay. Thank you. Another question I have is, in politics, whether it's on the national level or the local level, to me, it is pretty divisive from the standpoint that people say almost anything about their opponent that may not even have anything to do with the election. But could you say something good about your opponents? Is there a compliment that you could pay them?
Well, Miguel seems pretty informed. Well, my job is that this is a competition here. We're both trying to, we're all trying to get in there. It's really
that.
It's really not my job to fluff them up. That's their job to figure out how they want to. I don't know them enough. I don't know them enough.
No, I didn't vote for my opponent, but I'm just wondering,
I don't know them. I don't know them. I can tell you, I haven't had good dealings with Kyle. And I don't know if you want to put this on there, but, he contacted the Secretary of State, and I got contacted by the Secretary of State regarding my campaign finance report because I didn't close it out. And there was nothing wrong with my campaign finance report. I didn't get any ticks from the Secretary of State. And then they passed on the agenda to where the city council can go and close out people's campaign finance reports when they knew that they were going to put that on there. So what was the purpose of even calling the Secretary of State? To harass me. That's what that was. And then there was a Facebook Live that I did, and he showed up. And the only way that he knew that I was there was because he was watching my Facebook Live. And he sat there and harassed me and my son after I had already asked him to stay away from me and my children because of his behavior. So the only reason that I could feel as to why he would even behave like that is because he's upset of the voice that I have. And he could be upset all he wants. That doesn't mean that you have the right to retaliate against me. So I don't have anything nice to say about Kyle. I don't know Miguel. I had an opportunity to speak with Miguel yesterday. He's a polite gentleman.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you mentioned Kyle was at some event. Was this the event last week or so where you were served? Is that the event, or was it something else that he showed up at?
No, this was last year.
Okay. All right. Well, a couple more questions. If you could have dinner with anyone from the past, whether they're living now or not, who would it be and why?
From the past, as in like from my past or just in general?
Yeah, maybe somebody that's passed on, that's no longer on this earth. But if you had an opportunity to meet, that might be the person that you would want to meet with if you had an opportunity. I just want to know, who would it be and why would you?
It would be my grandmother.
Okay.
It would be my grandmother on my father's side, because I didn't really get a chance to grow up with her because of life.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I do thank you for your time. We are getting pretty close to the end. Let me just ask you, is there anything that you want to say that we have not touched on?
No, nothing. Nothing that I can think of.
Well, I thank you for being here today. When this office, I'm sure that the city of Abilene will be depending on you to be the very best person you can be.
Yes, and I know some people are skeptical. I know some people are skeptical because of my social media presence. And I know that some people are, you know, kind of hesitant. And that's okay. I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea. I can tell you one thing, though. I can get things done. And if you need something done, more than likely, I could figure out a way to get it done. And I don't even know if you want to add this in here, but people don't realize what I did before I took things to social media. There were several years where I sat down with representatives from the city to include administration to try and get things fixed. And unfortunately, the only thing that I got was the runaround. I sat there and I expressed my concerns. I expressed the need, and I was blown off. And so I sought the assistance of the community And when and it's the particular situation that I'm talking about is the recreation centers, the Rescue the Wreck. That was a campaign that I started to try and save, not necessarily the recreation centers in general, but the after school care program. But I didn't realize how big it really was at the time until I had the opportunity to speak to someone who was who cared about the recreation centers. And so fast forward, what he told me was going to happen is exactly what happened. They got rid of the recreation centers. And that's the way to keep the community connected. Those recreation centers are located in, you know, in areas of town in which that particular part of the neighborhood, if they need something, they can go there. And I can get things done. I don't even know where I was going with that particular scenario, but I care. I care. And I probably care too much. Hence as to why sometimes it might get to the point that it gets. I'm not a politician. I've never been a politician. I've never wanted to be a politician. I won't be a politician when I get on city council. A lot of people, I pray to God that I make it. If not, I'll keep doing what I'm doing, you know. But there's going to be people up there that aren't going to like what it is that I'm going to say or what it is that I'm going to do. And that's OK. But that's how you move forward. You can't please everybody. You know, you can't please everybody. But if you've ever had any kind of doubt as to where my intentions lie, my intentions are for whatever is best for the community as a whole, not one particular entity, not one particular individual, not even for myself. I mean, me and my children are out because of the advocacy that I do in this town. And I don't think people realize that. And that's okay. That's okay. But I know why it is that I'm doing what it is that I'm doing. And I know that it's helping to create a better quality of life for me and my kids, even if I have to fight to get it every day.
Okay. Well, Cynthia, we really appreciate you being here today. Just, you know, speaking out on your feelings and what you would do if you were elected to the city council. So be safe out there on the campaign.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
It's Everything West Texas is a production of KACU and is sponsored by the West Texas Tribune and Floyd Miller Investments. Securities and investment advisory services offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. FSC is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products or services referenced here are independent of FSC. Floyd Miller can be reached at 3300 South 14th Street, Suite 100 in Abilene, Texas, 325-676-0138. I'm Floyd Miller, your host. Subscribe today.